We continue our look this morning at this man called Adam. He was number one, wasn't he? He was the first about everything. He was the first husband, the first father, the first farmer, the first employer, the first man to walk with God, the first man to walk away from God, and the first man to hide from God. He was the first man to exhibit the qualities that man possesses when he is not under the control of God. He was the first man to reveal what the sin nature looks like, and we can learn a lot by looking at Adam. And that's what we did last week. We've been looking at Adam's attitude, and last week we asked ourselves, was he content? And we looked at his perfect environment and his imperfect response to Satan, and we determined that had Adam been content, had he been gratefully praising God for the garden, for Eve, for God himself, he never would have responded to Satan's question, hath God said? He would not have gone for the one thing in the world God told him he couldn't have. And as the sons of Adam, we respond to life just the way he does. So last week we looked at that character quality called contentment. This morning we move on to the second of the three character qualities of Adam that seem to be lacking that we're looking at. And this one is called faithfulness. Just the word strikes kind of an unsettled feeling in some of our heart. But if there's anything God teaches that he desires of us, it is faithfulness. He doesn't measure a man by how many talents he has. Isn't that wonderful? As the giver of talents, he knows the 10-talent guys from the 2-talent guys. He doesn't measure man that way. He doesn't measure us by our accomplishments. Neither busyness nor productivity necessarily reflect spirituality. That is not how God measures a man. Well, how does he? How does God measure a woman? How does God measure a man? We're going to look at one of the most crucial plumb lines found in Scripture this morning. God asks the question, is she faithful? The Scripture outlines the whole spectrum of God's desire for faithfulness. Let's first of all look at the odds. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, Ecclesiastes 7, 27 and 28, counting one by one to find the account which my soul yet seeketh, but I find not. What man among a thousand have I found? Those are the odds. One in a thousand or none in a thousand, depending on how you interpret the verse. But look at what God does with those kinds of odds. How many of you have memorized this verse? I want to ask you, I haven't read the verse yet. Isaiah 60, 22. A little one shall become, or an insignificant one shall become like a thousand. And a small one, a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. So do you see the picture? The odds are one in a thousand, but that's all God needs. Now let's look at what God's doing. What is God doing right now? The Scripture says, 2 Chronicles 69, the eyes of the Lord are doing what? They're scanning the earth. They're going to and fro throughout all the earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him, those who are faithful. God's scanning, searching, looking for those few. And then look at Proverbs 20, verse 6. There's the object. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find one? Or they're scarce, is what the Scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is found in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, if that's the object, what's the objective? 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. You know the verse. And the things which thou hast seen and heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to what? Whoever's listened, right? Commit them to faithful men and women who in turn shall be able to teach others also. So let's look at the pattern thus far. The pattern is this. There are not many, but a few can change the world. God is looking for the few. Who are the few? Those who are faithful. What are the few to do? Find others who are faithful and pass it on. And what will their goal be? Find others who are faithful and pass it on. Faithful men and women. That's what God is looking for. That's all God wanted of Adam. You stop and think about it. He didn't really pressure Adam for productivity. I doubt if Adam had a time clock to punch. I doubt if he had a quota to meet. Just be faithful, Adam. Tend your garden. Do the little tasks you've been given. Can't you just hear God? Don't worry about building a hamburger chain with the cattle surplus. Don't worry about starting your own Disney World with the extra animals. Just be faithful, Adam. The long haul will be my responsibility. Tend the garden. Oh, I know it's menial, Adam, but it's important. Keep the garden. That word keep, remember, means protect it from outside intruders. Keep your eyes on the hedges, Adam. It won't be a nuclear invasion that spoils your paradise, but neglect. Adam, a talking snake. You know the snake, Adam. You named him. Snake that blasphemes God shouldn't be kept in the garden, Adam. Don't blame Eve. It's your garden. It's your responsibility. Be faithful. Do the details. Leave the greatness to God. And keep your eyes on Eve, Adam. The faithful man teaches and protects and loves his family. She's your responsibility, Adam. If she's being deceived, be strong. Drive out the serpent. Drive home the point. Lead her back to where God is. There's no record that Adam ever asked God about that snake. Adam, Adam, Adam. All God wanted you to do was be faithful. Faithfulness. What is it? Faithfulness to demonstrate the fullness of one's faith by remaining in place. To demonstrate the fullness of one's faith by remaining in place. A faithful man's one whose faith will not permit variance or desertion. To be faithful is to be like a tree, standing, waiting, serving, one day bearing fruit, but never moving or transplanting itself prematurely. It takes years to start over. Never quitting. If it quits, it's finished. Never complaining, just staying in place and growing and growing and growing. That's what a faithful man is. That's what a faithful woman is. They're like a tree planted by rivers of living water. What is faithfulness? Well, there are three aspects or three faces to faithfulness. Let's look at them very quickly. There's an attitude, attributes, and activity. The attitude is loyalty. The attributes, basically, are dependability, trustworthiness, reliability. It all comes down to dependability. And the activity is to be steadfast. Loyal, dependable, steadfast. Is that picture of you? That's the question. Here are the marks of a faithful man. Number one, he's loyal in his heart to God. He doesn't waver as to who God is or who has first place in his life. Number two, he's faithful to his friends and his family. They know he knows that he would die for them rather than be disloyal to them. And thirdly, he's faithful to his employer or to his government. He never has a bad word for the guy whose check pays his bills unless it's said directly to him. The people he works for and the product he works with always get a good report. He's faithful. But not only is he loyal, but the faithful man's loyalty reflects itself in dependability. He comes to work every day. Excuses are not made for him. He comes on time. You can set the clock by the faithful man. The faithful man's so reliable that once he volunteers to do something, you check it off as done. He is so trustworthy, you don't count the money when he goes off duty. You know it's there. He takes the menial, unnoticed jobs and turns them into labors of love. He is dependable. So the faithful man's attitude is loyalty, his attribute is dependability, and his activity is steadfastness. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labors are not in vain in the Lord. So that's faithfulness, beloved. You got the picture? Steadfast, unmovable, Christian trees. Not blown about by every wind of doctrine, but steadfast, not fleeting and flitting from job to job, from friend to friend, from church to church, from responsibility to responsibility, always looking for more excitement, for more glamour. The faithful person stays in place and serves. The faithful person only moves when God says go. The faithful person finishes what he starts. To him or to her, an unfinished task is a badge of failure. Steadfast, immovable. Now, you may remember from last week, some of you, we started a little game we were playing called The Character Quality Is. And last week it was contentment, and I asked you to sit your family down around the table and let them think of one-line parables. Contentment is, and we gave you some places to start. Let's do that this morning with faithfulness, and maybe some of you will take that character quality for your family this week. Faithfulness, what is it? Faithfulness works long, but never looks at its watch. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness cleans under the bed where no one ever sees. Ooh, I got some dirty looks. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness waits when asked to and never knows he's waiting. Faithfulness needs no gold watch at the end of its years. It never considered time as important when there was a task to do. Faithfulness never undermines the integrity of its authority, its too busy serving. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness has a time card that reads like a broken record, 729, 729, 729, always on time. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is a mother of three at 3 a.m. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is the absence of petty excuses for not going to work or getting there on time. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is a dog who won't leave its master's side. Faithfulness is a church custodian who never misses but's never noticed. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is a nursery worker who changes your child's diapers week after week, day after day, because it pleases God. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is a shut-in who can't come to church but never stops praying for those who can. What is faithfulness? In the spiritual realm, faithfulness keeps no tabs on God. It's too busy remaining in place. Faithfulness is more concerned with meeting God than meeting deadlines. Faithfulness rises on time to be with God because he is God. And he knows God always keeps his appointments. Faithfulness studies the word because it is the word. Faithfulness would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Faithfulness doesn't concentrate on bearing fruit. It concentrates on staying in place because the fruit bearing is John's job. Faithfulness is a woman. For who but a woman washes clothes, changes diapers, fixes meal, bandages elbows, keeps the house, runs the errands with 103 degrees fever, and still smiles patiently when hubby grins, "I'm hungry, when do we eat?" Faithfulness is my wife. Faithfulness is the mother or father who hangs in there through PTA meetings, recitals, school plays, growing pains in adolescence. They may get no respect, as the comedian says, but then that was never promised with the job. Faithful. God's book is full of pictures of faithfulness. Did you ever know that there are 12 people in Scripture God specifically called faithful? Let's look at them. Such names as Moses, David, Abraham, Timothy, Paul, and Jesus. Those were 6 of them. Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, it was said of Moses, "He was faithful in my house." What a tribute. Wouldn't you like God to say that at the end of your life? He was faithful. She was faithful in my house. It was said of David in 1 Samuel 22, 14, "Who is more faithful than David?" Not sinless, faithful. Abraham, "You found his heart faithful," it says in Nehemiah 9, 8. About Timothy in 1 Corinthians 4, 17, "Timothy, faithful in the Lord." 1 Timothy 1, 12, of Paul it was said, "God counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." Of Jesus in Hebrews 3, 2, "Christ Jesus, faithful to him who appointed him." Now, how many of you consider yourself in that category? Probably not. You'll say, "I'm not a Moses, I'm not a David, I'm not an Abraham, I'm not a Timothy, I'm not a Paul, I'm certainly not a Jesus." Well, let's go to the other half of the list, okay? The other 6, Hananiah, Tychicus, Epaphras, Onesimus, Silvanus, and Antipas. These are the other 6 people in Scripture who are called by God as faithful. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2. It was said of Hananiah, "He was a faithful man who feared God." Ephesians 6, 21, it was said of Tychicus, "Beloved brother, faithful minister." Of Epaphras, it was said in Colossians 1, 7, "My dear fellow servant, he is a faithful minister." Of Onesimus in Colossians 4, 9, of Silvanus in 1 Peter 5, 12, of Antipas in Revelation 2, 13. 6 men of stature who changed the world, that proves faithfulness is necessary for leadership, but the other 6 were men of no reputation. They were guys like us, little guys. And that shows that God's reward is not for leadership, but for faithfulness, the quality from which leaders come. God's picture book is full of faithfulness. Men's names are engraved there and engraved on God's heart just because they were faithful. You say, "I'll never be an Abraham, but maybe you'll be an Onesimus." You say, "I'll never be a Paul, maybe not, but maybe you'll be an Antipas." Not a Timothy, but maybe a Tychicus. God honored them for their faithfulness. And along with the portraits God grants us of faithfulness, at least 3 basic principles are revealed in Scripture that are so fundamental, I don't know how we miss them, but we really are good at it. I want to share those three principles with you. They could have an effect on how you operate your life, and in particular, how you work with the people you work with. Principle number one, the scripture says, only if you are faithful in the little insignificant tasks will you ultimately be faithful in the bigger ones. You say, who said that? God did. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Make your children and your disciples memorize this verse. He that is faithful in that which is teeny, that's a loose translation. He who is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in that which is much. And he that is unjust or unfaithful in the little assignments will be so in the greater ones. You know what that means? It means you don't take a man who's faithless in a Mickey Mouse job and give him a bigger job to do, thinking the challenge will motivate him to faithfulness. Maybe that's the world's thinking, but it's not God's. The man who's unfaithful in that little job needs to be moved further down the ladder until he proves himself. Then you promote him to a bigger task. Principle number two, in the kingdom of God, the more faithful you are, the more responsibility you'll get. It's a law. Responsibility isn't a plum to be grasped. It's a reward for faithfulness. Matthew 25, 21 through 23. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Both here and in heaven, God's key appointments are not to the big guys who can do it all. They're to the men like Moses, the stuttering, stammering Moses, who are faithful in what they're given to do. If a man isn't faithful in the day-to-day grind, God won't make him chairman of the board, and neither should we. Principle number three, if you cannot be faithful with temporal things, you will not be faithful with spiritual things. That's a principle. If you treat your earthly possessions presumptuously, your spiritual treasures will be treated the same. If you don't respect your earthly authority, you will not respect your spiritual authority. Luke chapter 16, verse 11 and 12. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, in this world's goods, who would commit to you true riches? If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who would give you your own? Now that leads us to some crucial truths about church leadership and about parental leadership in children, and it's terribly important that we keep this practical. Number one, new Christians should not be given too much responsibility too soon. The road to leadership in the church has strewn across its paths the lives of thousands who were given too much too soon. Paul says, don't give a man church leadership as a novice, lest pride or discouragement conquer him and others fall with him. And if you're a young Christian here and someone asks you to serve on an impressive, important board somewhere, refuse. God wants to train you in the shade. He wants to test you on church work days. If you can't be faithful there, don't look for advancement anywhere else. Truth number two, the test isn't your talent, but your faithfulness. Oh, we need to learn that. It's tempting to thrust the young believer into the limelight because of their natural talent. God will use their talent, but you may slow down the spiritual pace of their spiritual growth as pride and acclaim take its toll. Can he sing? Wonderful. Let him sing praises to God on a hilltop alone until his walk with God is strong and his song is an expression of his life. Can he speak? Let him learn to speak to man by the side of the road. God will exalt him to the masses in due time. Truth number three is, test the new believer first with temporal responsibility. When I first became a Christian, I'll never forget it, my first job was to park cars in a church parking lot. Sunday morning, Sunday night, we parked cars. In the summer, the temperature sometimes was over 100. In the winter, it always seemed like it was below freezing, but it wasn't. And every Sunday, week after week, we had to be there. I can remember we had some very obstinate customers in the parking lot. One of them rolled over a man's foot with his car because he got in the way. Sometimes we froze, sometimes we sweated, we got honked at, fussed at, and confused. But I learned more about service in that job than I have in any sense. You want to be a spiritual leader someday? Show up at the church's work day, or volunteer to clean up, or build things, or pick up bricks, or sweep up after those who do. Show up this week and next week and the next week and the next week. God will honor your faithfulness. And truth number four is, you grant additional responsibility only proportionate to how faithful they were and what you gave them to do. How'd they do in the parking lot? How'd they do cleaning the building? How did they do serving food? 50% work record, disloyal spirit, pass over them. even for an usher or committee chairman or group leader. First, they need to be faithful, the scripture says, where they are. Two criteria: faithfulness to the task, faithfulness to the word. We promised you that every time we would look at one of these character qualities, we'd try to make some application to the home. So those of you who have children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren or neighbors or whatever, let me give you some suggestions. Number one, the scripture indicates we should reward faithfulness rather than accomplishment. Let your children be rewarded for the time they prepared and the time they worked, not for the highest grade. You may have two kids and one of them's a B student who worked and worked and worked to get that B. They need to be encouraged much more than the A student who kind of managed to get by and got a B. Time, faithfulness. If your son works out for the football team and he works and he shows up every day and he works, but he doesn't make the team, he needs your encouragement. That's faithfulness. At the end of the line, that'll be much more important than how many touchdowns he scored. You may have a child that plays the piano. It isn't to compare their talent with someone else and say, well, you did pretty good. You didn't make too many mistakes. That's not the issue. Were they faithful in their practicing? That's the issue. Faithfulness. Honor character, not accomplishment. And start young. Suggestion number two, teach faithfulness by nature. The scripture says, consider the ants, thou sluggard. Here's a way to learn about diligence from the ants. You can learn about faithfulness from a tree. A tree stands under the rain and the heat and eventually gives fruit and shade. You can learn faithfulness from a dog. You can read stories about animals and learn, not glorify the animal, but the quality. Number three, begin with the details of life and grant greater responsibility proportioned to their faithfulness. Give gradual freedom based on how consistent they are, because you cleaned your room so well. I'm going to give you the responsibility to do this because you've demonstrated a faithful spirit. And then suggestion number four, look for faithfulness in people, and in particular in the living legends of the Word. Well, the part we never look forward to, we close by asking you to take inventory of this quality in your personal life. I'm going to give you 10 questions. On each question, you grade yourself from 1 to 10. Perfect score is 100. The one that gets 100 is faithful, but they need to work on their humility. All right? Number one, are you faithful in spending time alone with God? I'm not going to tell you what I got on this quiz because you'd never let me up here again. Are you faithful? Is it every day or every other day or now and then or whenever you feel moved? Number two, grade yourself 1 to 10. Are you faithful in the details of your house or job? If you're a woman at home, do you clean under the bed regularly behind things that aren't seen? Is the world open to your closets? Men, does your desk stay neat? I can't even find mine. Does your basket stay empty? Only when somebody dumps it over. Does your to-do list stay to done? Check it off. 1 to 10. Number three, are you still with me? 2 of you are, I can see. Okay, are you faithful to your friends? Do you give more than you take? Do you invite more than you're invited? Do you love more than you're loved? Are you faithful? Number four, are you faithful to the people you serve under? Do you badmouth your employer or his products? Wives, do you talk badly about your husband or disrespectful when you're describing him to others? Or do you speak only kindness? Do you speak kindness about your parents? Do your children speak kindness about their teachers or those that work with them? How faithful are you to people under whom you serve? That's number four. 1 to 10. Some of you are already up to 100 and we've only had 4. You've got a math problem. Number five. Are you faithfully on time? Can they set the clock by you, or are you consistent only in your tardiness? Are you selfish when you are on time? Do you run over others and leave a mess behind for them to clean up so you can be on time? Could have left that out, couldn't we? Not over yet. Number six, do you finish what you start? I really hate to bring this up because I get a minus four. I started with a 0 and I couldn't qualify. How is your track record on household fix-it projects? I lose the list. How about sewing projects, church projects? How about that book of remembrance you were going to start 6 years ago? How about the prayer notebook you were going to start 5 weeks ago? Okay. Very quiet. Are you faithful in protecting your family spiritually? Do you keep your own garden? Are you faithfully in the Word day after day, studying, memorizing, meditating, even when you don't have to? Are you faithful in your mind? Are your thoughts as holy as others think they are? And are you faithful with your possessions? Do you spend wisely? Do you save wisely? Do you give generously? Those are the 10 questions. We lost most of you about number 3, but you can go back and read them again. Gauge yourself 1 to 10. 100 to 80 is a faithful man or a faithful woman. 80 to 60, you're developing a faithful spirit. 60 to 40, you're thinking hard about being faithful. 40 to 20, whoops. 20 to 0, those of us that are in that category are unfaithful men and women. Now, Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. You study that principle sometime. So I conclude this morning, how faithful are you? The key to your faithfulness is to understand who God is. It's the key to all of these character qualities. You remember last week, we asked ourselves, what is contentment? And the key to contentment was coming to understand that God is spirit. This morning I'm going to tell you that the key to faithfulness is to understanding the faithfulness of God. Let me give you a few scriptures to meditate on this week, and with this we'll close. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah just as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah just as he spoken. Deuteronomy 7, 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with them that love him, keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Deuteronomy 7, 9. What a memory verse. How about Joshua 23, 14? You know in all your hearts and all your soul that not one thing has failed of all the good things the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All of them have come to pass. Not one has failed. Faithful? I think so. And he lives in you. 1 Kings 8, 56. Blessed be the Lord that has given rest to Israel according to all that he's promised. There hath not failed what? One word of all his promises. Psalm 36, 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Psalm 89, 33. My loving kindness I will not take from thee, nor allow my faithfulness to fail, not ever. My covenant I will not break. I will not change the thing that has gone forth from my lips. What a God. Don't you see the basis for our faithfulness? He lives in us. Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness stretches to all generations. Jeremiah 33, 20. If you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should be no night or night in their day or night in their season, if you can do that, then you might break my covenant with my servant David. Now ask yourself, has there ever been a time you can remember when night didn't follow day? Has there ever been a time when the sunrise didn't follow the darkness? Has there ever been a time when spring didn't follow winter? No. Why? Because of the faithfulness of God. Lamentations 3:23, memorize it. That's the kind of verse I like to memorize. 4 words. Great is thy faithfulness. Well, that's not the whole verse, but memorize that part. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. He will allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who called you. He'll do it. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him as unto a faithful creator. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Revelation 22:6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. You can bank your life upon them. God is faithful, and God's word is faithful. And beloved, when we're really walking in the Spirit, we will be faithful too. Now just imagine for a moment. Just try to visualize. You come across the Master and you look into his eyes. As he takes you in his arms, your heart swells from within until he asks five simple words. How faithful have you been? Can you imagine, just like Job, our surface weak defenses, we begin to justify why faith was not intense. Oh, Lord, I sang for you so well. Hundreds heard my praise. And softly yet we hear him say, how faithful were your ways? Lord, I preached to thousands. My words were wrought with power. And softly yet we hear him say, could you not watch 1 hour? Oh, Lord, my giving was so great. I labored for the poor. I worked and worked to gain more worth. The wealth that I could give them more. And then the Lord said nothing. But his silence could be felt. Then as his voice so softly spoke, my heart began to melt. My child, I do not measure you by all the things you've done. Nor do I yet reward a man for battles he has won. I ask of all men one thing, and this I ask of you. I ask, but were you faithful in what you had to do? Were you faithful on your knees day after day after day? Not how flowery were your prayers, but how faithfully did you pray? How faithful were you faithful on the job? Did you remain in place? Did you labor amidst the strife, knowing I would give more grace? Were you faithful with your family? They were assignment one. Were you as faithful to them, my child, as I am to my son? Were you faithful in little things? Things no one else would do. The endless task, the thankless task, where no glory came to you. Were you faithfully in the word, line upon line upon line? No one unfaithful to the word can be a disciple of mine. Be faithful, my child. Be faithful. That's what I want you to be. Loyal, dependable, steadfast, remaining in place for me. Faithful in all the details of life. Faithful without a claim. Faithful again and again and again to all that brings praise to my name. Be faithful, my child, be faithful in the things that seem so small. Be faithful, my child, and one day ye shall be ruler of all. Our Father and our God, we come into your presence again and we ask you to grant us a vision this week of the faithfulness of our God and to help us to see that when our lives do not reflect that faithfulness, we are not allowing your Spirit to live through us the way you desire. If we're to grow, Father, in ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another, we must become faithful men and women. No, Father, there aren't many. It seems wherever you go, there's just a faithful few. And yet, Father, you knew the odds. But you're scanning the earth even this morning, looking for faithful men and women. Dear God, may your eyes settle upon us and be pleased. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message by Russell Kelfer, founder and director of Discipleship Tape Ministries of San Antonio, Texas. Feel free to contact us on the World Wide Web at www.dtm.org. That's dtm.org. Or you may write to us at the following address, Discipleship Tape Ministries, 10602 Moss Bank, San Antonio, Texas, and the zip is 78230. Well, thank you for listening. We pray God's richest blessing may be yours as He continues to live His life in you.